me up. Okay.
Are we up? Okay.
I am up.
Alright, I feel like I'm too loud, but yeah, so I mean, you know, fucking spy balloons.
Spy balloons, which kind of took over from the news of the brutal police beating.
Right, it stole the thunder of the, you know, the murder. I'm talking about the Nichols murder.
Right, Tyree.
Yeah. What's the deal there? I feel like that's falling out of the news cycle.
Well, they did bring up murder charges, like, almost immediately.
Yeah, 21 days.
Right. Which, and before the video was released.
Before the video was released and like 21, 22 days afterwards. So setting the all-time American criminal justice record for a murder charge.
And it appears to have staved off the angry reaction and in the George Floyd case. However, there's still plenty of protests going on across the country about that kind of policing.
Well, I think it's put into sharp focus these anti-gang, anti-street crime units,
which the Scorpions.
Well, you know, a lot of different jurisdictions have a version of this, which is
correct.
You know, let's take the most ruthless, violent, aggressive cops.
I mean, is that what they're trying to do? Take the most aggressive cops?
I mean, I don't know. And I mean, I'm basing this. Look, I'm ignorant. I'm basing this off of the footage I saw from body cams.
Yeah,
it looked like we had a group of. I didn't want to run into those guys.
No kidding. I mean, they were out of the car. Five of them racing over there, all of them shouting contradicting orders and. Get on the ground. Yeah, I'm on the ground. You know, I mean, it looked like the orders were confusing. They were difficult, if not impossible, to obey. And all the time, they're kicking him, pepper spraying him, beating him.
Well, it looks like, I mean, you know, I think there's a big clue in the very first body cam video that we see, which is the two cops at where the initial traffic stop was made. So you have Nichols' vehicle there. Unattended,
yeah,
the cops there.
Right.
And you got one cop pouring water into the eyes of the other cop who got pepper sprayed.
Right, right,
they
right.
were pissed off. And I think what happened is, you know, I think they pepper sprayed themselves right out the gate. Like, they sprayed, and it happened again, you know, on the final site where the beating happened. It happened there, too. They got
angry about that.
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, you know, nobody wants to get pepper sprayed.
So, right, right.
Especially yeah, when you're the one, walk. You know, when you're the one that's supposed to be pepper spraying, too. So I think they were mad. I think they were angry. And I think they wanted to. I also heard a rumor that one of the cops was, there's some connection between Nichols and the cops. Did you hear this?
I did. And it didn't look very credible, but what was this connection again?
One of the cops was dating his ex-girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a whole nother ball game. If that turned out to be true, then you've got, you know.
But has it risen to anything more than
I'm not saying anything.
Wild speculation.
I feel like they're not talking about it at all. And now we've got, you know, the balloon
the
thing
balloon.
Pretty much took over. And, it, you know, on its face, okay, you know, come on. You feel like. You feel like there's any lack of spying going on with your activities at this point, you know, between the NSA and social media and your credit card.
Well, I mean, we got people thinking, okay, they directed this balloon over these missile sites. How do you do that with a balloon?
And why would you shoot it down if they have balloon directing technology? Why wouldn't we want to get a hold of the balloon? And
right, right.
See how that was accomplished. Right. A balloon, a fucking balloon. Do you know what
I
mean?
And why would you shoot it down after it's passed over the United States?
What are you you can't see what's going on in our backyards through TikTok, so you got to, what, you want that aerial view?
Is there anything that you can see from whatever's on that balloon that you couldn't see in the satellites that they all got?
They got a satellite that can pull out a barcode from 20,000 miles up. You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if what the Chinese are saying about it is that it, you know, is a weather balloon blown off course. But what's that? What is the the solar array that
that's what
was
I'm saying
on there?
The whole thing's,
what was that about? It's weird.
It seems like something, you know, that a kid, a high school kid, would build.
Right,
you know what I mean? It doesn't look. I mean, were you frightened of China's technology when you saw the balloon? Like, holy shit! I didn't know they had balloon technology.
Right.
I'm sorry. I don't know. Maybe I'm desensitized. You know, I might be cynical and desensitized, but I can't be.
Well, I would really like to know how you direct a balloon. Balloons are playthings of the wind.
I can't even direct myself to be afraid of it. You know what I mean? Like, I can't fear balloons. I'm past that point in my life where a balloon is frightening.
And did we finally shoot it down because the Republicans were losing their shit that we hadn't shot it down before?
We've shot it down. According to Ted Cruz, the reason it was shot down is because people in Montana spotted it. So, you know, once that happened, then the government could no longer, I guess, breach its duty any further, and they had to send it. They sent up an F-22 Raptor. So what is that?
About
$2 billion plane, basically.
Because of some farmers with pitchforks in Montana.
You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, somebody else was suggesting that people try to shoot it and take it out.
You're right.
Like, do you understand how high that thing is up in the sky?
Yeah, was it like 60,000 feet?
Yeah, I'm sorry. What ordnance are you planning to use? is that a regular 22, or do you have to use a rifle for that?
Yeah, right.
60,000 feet up. Because that's what we want, also, is a bunch of yahoos firing guns into the air.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no idea what's going on with this country. And I really don't see what knowledge is going to be gained from a 60,000-foot-up aerial shot of what? Well, yeah, there's military vehicles there. I mean, we already knew that was a military installation, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, this seems like a major... Could this be a planned distraction from the Nichols thing? Or it just seems the timing seems...
Well, weird. Right? Because, I mean, the Nichols thing is still of some moment. Because now they've been charged, as they should be. We can't... And, you know, here's another thing that's been made a big deal of, but not until we saw the pictures of the faces of the cops. Oh, they're black.
Right.
Would they have been charged so quickly if they weren't black?
Well, we can only base that on what's happened in the past. So,
right. And I don't know. I think even if white cops had done this, there would be a similar reaction because they realize this is going to be, you know, pissing a lot of people off. We could have, you know, the kind of destructive riots that did occur in,
Is the fact that these cops are black, is that what has quelled this to some extent in your mind? There must be some measure of difference there. You know, even if we can't really articulate why.
Well, I think what it illustrates is that not only is there race, you know, race, are there police, racist police, but it's more of a police problem than a race problem. And it always has been.
Well, you go back to the original Colin Kaepernick protest, right? You know, I mean, he took a knee during the national anthem because of to protest police killing of unarmed black men, not of white cops killing black men. That was never
exactly. Exactly.
Know, I think the far right tried to turn it into a race issue, like you're anti-white.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah, I mean, the problem is the institution. And especially when you get these, you know, paramilitary smash and crash units that come in and are there to terrorize, basically.
Yeah, I mean, and then Scorpion unit. Really?
Scorpion,
I mean,
Scorpion unit.
Is there the Devil Dog unit out there or Megadeth Squad?
Yeah, yeah, it was Devil. Yeah, it was Devil Dog Taken, I guess. Right. You know, Satan's Hounds.
Right, right. You
kind
know.
Of thing.
Right.
Commander so, Cerberus.
So it's clear that this culture, though, exists in department-wide, you know. It's top-down. I think they're starting to change. And this, you know, quick murder charges is evidence of some amount of change.
But do you think this is going to hold? Do you think the next time we have four white cops accused of killing an unarmed person that we're going to... You think we're...
I think...
You think we're going to move quick on them, or you think it's going to be
Think we've rounded a corner, but we've approached the corner, I believe.
I mean, geez, this is our fight for equality. Let's make sure that the abusers are treated equally. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, so right now, police departments attract people who like to throw their weight around, who love authority, don't mind taking orders, love to give them, right. And you know, authoritarians in general. And somehow, well, I think, can it be done with training? Maybe.
There was a time when the idea of like a standing army or soldiers walking around the streets would have been offensive to people, that idea.
Total anathema.
Right? Like we don't want soldiers on street corners. We don't need military vehicles rolling around.
Well, that comes from the very beginning of the government and no standing armies. I mean, we didn't have a standing army until after World War. We didn't demand, disband our army after World War II. We really didn't have standing armies before that.
I mean, that's when you go to a third world country, you see, you know,
yeah.
soldiers with machine guns milling about. Right? That's
exactly.
that's a telltale sign of you know, hey, you better watch
your
ass.
So we still kind of have that, but instead we've militarized like, the police.
That's what I'm, yeah, exactly. Like, instead of having the standing soldiers, we just gave the assault rifles to the cops. We gave the Kevlar to the cops. We gave the tanks, literally tanks.
And right? Is the fact that a lot of police are ex-military and served time in Iraq and Afghanistan, where they viewed the population as the enemy,
right?
Does that translate to their behavior here? Hard to say. No.
I feel like we're asking a bunch of questions we already know the answers to.
Yeah, right.
I mean, look, if the only tool you're given is a hammer, right?
Yeah.
Then eventually everything starts to look like a nail.
Sure.
And I feel like instead of militarizing the police, maybe, you know, mental health-izing. You know what I mean? Like, maybe more... You know, some communities have had success not sending cops to situations, but sending counselors.
Yes.
Mental health people.
It's at the city level, but several cities have had, no complaints about, you know, police brutality or, you know, people being killed by the police.
Yeah.
Like after instituting some programs.
Yeah, you send a social worker out.
Yeah, that. Well, that wouldn't have helped Tyree Nichols. He was pulled over. What was the traffic problem?
Well, officially, you know? City of Memphis... Well, that was initially what the police said. City of Memphis has now said that there was no probable cause for that. So,
yeah.
They picked him at random because he was a young black man in a vehicle. So that's what they were... That's what they were looking for, right?
Well, right. I mean, what set them off? That's kind of a mystery at this point.
Officially, nothing.
Yeah.
officially, they pulled him over for no reason. And then, you know, and then it's okay. So, you know, from the moment that happened, he was beaten at a different location. So,
yeah. Well, yeah. At a certain point, he realizes, wait a minute, they might be killing me here. I got to get out. And he runs.
I think he went into fight or flight, and he flew.
He ran for his life.
He ran for his life. You know, they fired a taser at him and missed. They tried to mace him. He's trying to get a pizza.
Yeah. Right?
And he figured if I can just get to my mom's house, you know, that's like a little kid reaction. Do you know what I mean?
Defuse this thing.
Like, let me get home so my mom can protect me. That's right. That's what we're talking about here.
It may have worked, but he didn't. They got him.
And here's the other thing. If we wouldn't have had that fixed city CC camera on that pole.
Oh, right.
Okay. Go back and watch the body cam footage. You can't tell what's going on.
Yeah.
They're getting shut off. You don't have any idea what's happening. If it wasn't for that fixed camera. And now we're back to, I remember the idea of putting cameras up on poles and like London has. I remember that idea being offensive, and I think enough of this has happened to where I'm on the other side of it now.
Thank God for cameras. Yeah.
I think I want cameras everywhere now.
Yeah, right.
I mean, let's photograph every goddamn inch of the country then, since not even them wearing cameras seems to have an effect. They all knew they were body cammed up. Like, what was that?
Yeah, right? And not only did they think they could get away with it, it seemed, judging by the behavior after it was all over with, this is business as usual. This is nothing extraordinary.
There, I definitely felt that. There was nothing odd about what had just happened. You know?
When the one guy even said, that was fun.
Yeah, I threw a couple haymakers. Yeah, I saw them. I saw those haymakers. You know, and what is this squad training? 5-on-1, they can't get a guy on the ground, right?
Yeah.
You know, Fox News will tell you that the police have been handcuffed, and that's why that can't happen, because they've changed procedures.
Sure.
Right.
The old Dirty Harry syndrome of the poor cop is hamstrung from protecting the people.
I could have taken him down. Instead, I had to beat the shit out of him, because I can't tackle him. I think the worst one was the two guys holding him. He was on his knees, and the other cop comes up and kicks him in the face.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
How do you do that? Yeah.
What part of the training was that?
And give me your hands. And two cops have both of his hands.
Two cops are holding his hands. Get on the ground. Those two cops are holding him up while they tee
I'm
off
on the ground.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So we'll see now what happens to these cops in the trial.
Well, now that the balloon has been taken care of.
Yeah, right. Back to the cops.
So the question is, did they learn enough in those few days with the balloons? Will that swing the Cold War? Will that be the difference?
It doesn't look like it's really helped it. I mean, Blinken was going to go to China, and that was off, and China's complaining about us shooting it down now.
I don't believe anything I'm reading in the press right now, to be honest. I don't believe that.
This balloon story seems fishy as fuck.
It's super fishy. It's super fishy. You know, I heard, you know, they should have went with electromagnetic pulse weapon. That was the first thing I heard.
Oh, really? Like, oh, to knock out the electronics on it or something?
No. That the balloons themselves were EMP delivery weapons, delivery systems. So they put the balloons at certain points. Boom, they hit the electromagnetic pulse. Boom. Of course.
Well, except it got all the way across the United States, and that did not happen.
That didn't happen. So, you know, was it a dry run? Let's see if we can get the EMP balloons. I mean.
And the evidence for that is?
No, like maybe two articles and then nothing else. Yeah, you know.
Right.
I'm just saying.
So pure speculation, it seems like.
You know, that would have held more water for me than the spying thing, I guess is my point. Because I just really don't see. There's already satellites.
Yeah, right.
I use TikTok every day, which is what is a direct line to the Chinese government.
Yeah, that's what they say. Well, it's, you know, given China, though, I believe it.
I don't believe it. You know, they can't boogeyman China for me. I am not. You know what? I've met a lot of Chinese people. They're awesome people. So
I was married to a Chinese person.
I really don't. I mean, I've met Chinese people all over the world, all walks of life. I've had nothing but pleasant experiences with Chinese people.
I look pretty hard at the pro-democracy movement in Hong Kong. They were awesome. They were brave. They were resourceful. And humorous,
And here's the other thing. Speaking of that, the totalitarian government that they were fighting against, they didn't turn flamethrowers on them.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you know what I mean? Everybody held it in
Although
check.
They did give them 10-year prison sentences, shut down newspapers, fired all of the democracy people elected.
And the Chinese people have a right to their own self-determination. It doesn't need to be... It's thousands of years that culture's been going on, right?
3,000 years of continuous civilization.
So the U.S., we've been here, what, 20 minutes? You know what I mean?
By comparison.
So and the U.S. is going to preach to them on democracy? Like, on the basis of what? I mean, what, you know what I mean?
Well, we were the first democratic government.
Okay, you let me know. You let me know when that happens. When we get
right,
when
I okay. So
yeah, we preach it.
The U.S. Constitution was a unique document in the history of the world of governments, and it was a major change. Power being what it is, it still gets used by people who you have to wonder about their motives.
Yeah, I wonder about our motives.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, we always need some goddamn boogeyman to set it off exactly right. We always need something. Someone to hate.
Sure, fear.
And if we don't have an outside xenophobic fear of something outside our borders, then we turn on ourselves. So they always got to give us some, you know, we went right from Khomeini to, what was the guy's name? Saddam Hussein.
So I hear there's, you know, there's an agenda behind that. And I think the agenda is, it's not really a great agenda or so much of an agenda as it is a feature of human nature.
Fear of the outsider, you're saying.
Right. I mean...
Or rather...
There are people who are authoritarian by nature, who are fearful by nature, fearful of the other, fearful of immigrants, fear of Jews, fearful, you know... And so this comes out in policies that are really self-defeated.
Well, it weakens the country, right?
Yeah.
And you got poor Chinese people walking around being attacked here in the U.S. Can you imagine? Like, we're all Americans here, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's counterproductive, really ridiculous.
It's unbelievable, yeah.
Once again, that fits in with that. It's part of the nature of some humans, let's put it that way.
Like, they're so terrified that we're going to turn our goggles on the government, right? Like, they're so afraid we're going to take an extra few seconds to look at policy, to look at what they're doing. So it's easier to hand us pitchforks.
Yeah.
You think, you know, the famous cartoon with the industrialist with 50 cookies in front of him, and then you got the worker with one cookie. And then
Sure. Yeah.
It's like, hey, that immigrant's trying to steal your cookie.
Right. So, you know, make the immigrant the boogeyman, where, you know, it's not the industrialist.
It makes us look really dumb.
Americans more stupid than other people?
I always thought we were smart. You know what I mean? That was kind of...
There's lots of evidence for smart.
Right. But then you start to realize that you can show the examples of all the smart stuff. And if you can name all the examples, then that's a problem, right? Then it's not normal. The smart things are the anomalies, it seems like.
Right, yeah. I do think, though, Americans have been dumbed down. I think the general population was not given to as much factual error, as they are now when I was young.
Right.
So I think, at least it seems like that. Maybe if you get to certain areas of the country, it was just as bad as it is now. But
something weird has happened. I think it all started with the Bush election that was stolen, the first one.
Oh, right.
And I think at that moment, you know, life went on, and then it became okay for a huge group of people to...
a level of distrust in the process.
And that we could exist with distrust, that we could move forward and continue along our path, even though this huge thing happened, supposedly or not. It was never dealt with, and then it's festered, it's grown, and now you have 30% of the population thinking that the world is flat.
Yeah, right, right. I mean, right, has that risen? It seems like it has.
It absolutely has. Yeah. Absolutely. Because now you get to a point where it gives you the license to disbelieve everything. If you're on a particular side of the issue, let's say.
And that really seems like what has happened.
So then it's like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we knew, but we didn't know. Like, oh, we're all made of molecules. Oh, great. Okay, perfect. We're all molecules. Like, we don't know, but they told us and we accepted it, right? Now, because of all this shit, now we're going back into things that are, we've already checked the box on those things, like the shape of the planet. Now everything's being called into question. Vaccines.
Sure.
You know, doctors, the military. I mean, now there's, everything's distrust. So look, if you're thinking like, what would China want to do to us strategically?
Right.
This is pretty good.
I mean, you're right.
This is pretty good. It'd be pretty hard to, I mean, I don't know what the CIA is up to, but this is a disinformation campaign that worked. Whoever did it, if it was Facebook or what, you know, whoever was responsible for this accomplished it. Because there is
Well, the Chinese have admitted to it's theirs.
Yeah, according to MSN and CNN. And, you know, again, it's like...
Right.
I don't really know. I'm at that point, too, now, where it's just like, it's like they tell me something. Even if it makes sense, I'm like, oh, really?
Sure. And distrusting the news is a big part of how we got into this place in the first place.
I mean, we should have been distrusting them the entire time, but... You know, now we're in a mess here because now nobody can be told anything. And how is Marjorie Taylor Greene still in Congress?
On committees.
How is that possible? How is Matt Gaetz still a congressman?
Yeah, Jim Jordan.
The list goes on. How? Yeah. Like, we really could keep naming all names if we wanted to. I don't understand how this is possible.
Yeah.
Is this like, is the Andy gambit did. Here, we're going to make it so shitty that eventually people will check out on politics, like in the heyday of the 1940s and 50s and 60s, when people didn't give a shit, when people could actually,
well,
there was a time in this
the
country.
40s, the war brought everybody together.
What am I thinking? 70s maybe? At what point did check out? When did we check out and was like, oh, they don't speak for us anyway? And there
I think it was the 60s after a campaign by conservatives. They read corporate America. They were still chafing under the high tax rate, you know, from the New Deal as the 50s began. So they start a campaign against that. They got a little bit of relief in 1954, but big cuts in 1960, and then been whittling away at it ever since. When Reagan gets in, they brought it down to 35% when Reagan gets in.
Right.
And now it's like 15%.
Right. If you don't know what you're doing.
Right. And if you do know what you're doing, you're not paying anything at all.
Right. Or they're paying you.
Because you're smart.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm just saying there's a time when you didn't talk about politics, and people that did talk about politics were viewed as kind of subhuman in a way. I'm saying in polite circles, you know.
Religion, politics, you don't talk about
ever, ever in business, you would never discuss those things. You know, this is the Facebook effect, you know.
But you're absolutely right that cultivating distrust in the news was part of that process. And I've looked for moments in history when there was something similar going on, and I find a level of distrust in what the other person, you know, the other side is saying, in all policymaking, but not to the degree we have it now. The newspaper war of 1790s seems similar. The accusations that both sides were throwing against the other, whack.
But was that totally. Was that the key difference? Is like that moment where it stops being about, you know, like a critique of the other's policy and about a critique of the other. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. I mean, that seems to be at play in at all times, actually.
So in fact, but now we don't even have to talk about policy now. We don't even need to discuss policy anymore. We can just talk about our failings. Right.
Okay, so real policy goals of somebody who's being taxed at a higher rate is reduce that. But to do that, you've got to talk people who are not being taxed at that rate that something else is going on that they should fear also, and puts a billionaire, business on this, making common cause with mom and pop grocery store in Main Street.
Right.
In which it's not remotely.
Nope.
And so that's erroneous. And then you bring in the Christian right, and you see what I'm saying? They've made bedfellows with some people that you can only get them on your side by lying to them.
It's my original. That was my original a cappella group in college. the bedfellows.
Somehow I believe you.
Yeah, it didn't work out. It didn't work out. I wasn't gonna wear that stupid vaudeville hat.
Oh sure.
Yeah.
What the straw?
Yeah. Oh, we gotta wear the hats. I'm like, I'm out on this. I don't look good in hats anyway, let alone
especially straw hats.
Yeah, but here we are. It's like you can do an article as a political commentator about what a piece of garbage Joe Biden is or somebody.
Sure.
And it's an article. Sure. It gets printed and it's an article. I mean, it works. We've lost something here, you know. We can't wait for all these people to die. What are you going to wait for all these right-wing lunatics to? They're young. They're all young.
They're young. They and they're eternal. So I mean, that's a vain hope. I think was waiting for them to die. they replicate. I think it's part of human nature.
What if we made a deal with them? Like, look, we'll get universal basic income. We'll get, nationalized healthcare.
They would not be for that.
Okay, but if you give us those things, we'll all just keep pretending we're into politics, and we'll fight with each other. You know what I mean? Let's make a deal. You know.
But that's one of the things they've been inoculated against is socialism.
Jesus Christ!
They don't even call it creeping socialism anymore. You know, it's just the radical socialist democratic agenda.
Well, what did Chomsky said? You can't really make a determination on capitalism because it's never been tried.
Right.
And if it did try, it would last about 5 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, our capitalism is just repurposed aristocracy.
We have corporate socialism. Basically.
Yeah. I mean, you got a very few people with a heavy thumb on the scale preventing entrepreneurialism, not, protecting it.
Well, if you look at what happens with banks, with large corporations, we're as pure socialism as you can get at the government level. And at the corporate level. You know, the only thing that's missing is corporations are not getting taxed enough, and none of the benefits are getting to the lower levels of society.
They have successfully transferred more and more of the cost of government to lower and lower levels of income earners.
So I don't know what this system is. I mean, would you say corporatocracy or?
At a certain point, those kinds of labels. Socialism,
but to say we're capitalism. A democracy is patently false. I would say. I mean, we're not. That's not what's happening here.
We're not as democratic as most European countries.
Correct. Even the National Socialist ones.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
At some point, it was enough for Americans to think they were the best. We got some generation got convinced of that. Maybe it was the people coming back from World War II, maybe.
I'm guessing that that's, yeah.
I mean, they were sold out on the deal. And which I totally understand. If I had went through that experience and survived, I probably would be pro-American coming home. And
the world was pro-American.
But at some point, we just decided to stop achieving. We decided to stop. I don't know what happened. It was enough to know that we were the best.
Well, and that was the problem. Hubris. We're the best. We've got the world on a string, and they like that. And it was true for a minute.
Well, we were great because we did great things.
Yeah, the Marshall Plan. Of course, the Marshall Plan was U.S. capitalism on steroids, but it did rebuild Europe and Japan.
Did a great job with Japan, too.
Yeah, right?
Beautiful country.
We put the kibosh on our own steel industry by building steel plants in Germany and Japan.
Well, Japanese steel's better anyway, but still.
Right?
So, we moved all our factories. Yeah, we moved the coal factory. I mean, you know what I mean?
So what was the thinking? But however, then we put our cowboy CIA, especially, in messing with all the governments of the world.
Don't you mean nation building?
No. Oh, right. I forgot.
I would have loved to be CIA. I'm just too much of a coward at the end, you know? I just have too much cowardice to be a hero, really.
What was stunning about the CIA, and I read an interesting book, New York Times author wrote kind of an expose, at least a history of the CIA from the OSS days forward, and what was surprising was not the skullduggery, but the level of incompetence.
Oh, right.
I mean, not only did they not, accomplish their missions most of the time, when they did, it still didn't turn out for American interests. Hmm. So, amazing. And then there's, the really horrendous stuff they were, assassinating, foreign leaders.
Allegedly.
Yeah, right.
Transporting cocaine to the inner cities of America, allegedly. Right.
Yeah, was Ronald Reagan our biggest coke dealer?
I wish the CIA would start pumping in more psilocybin into the cities.
What's that?
The magic mushrooms.
Oh, sure. Well,
let's give it a run.
It helps for depression, so.
And I guess if we're all less depressed, we're not going to be as good of consumers. We're not easily managed. Is that the problem? We got to be depressed. Can't we be lulled into joy, into some kind of lethargy from having things go too well or something? Can we try that?
Right.
Just feed everybody, yeah. For example. If we're spitballing here, feeding everybody would be something.
Yeah, I don't know. The battle is not against, people not being fed enough. The battle is against ridiculous belief.
God could Jewish not be reached lasers. For comment.
Yeah.
I think one thing, though, you never know the whole story until the end, right? And then you look back and you're like, oh, okay, that was really this way instead of, I think this period of idiocy that we're moving through, this, what was that movie where they go in the future and everybody's a moron?
Oh, right, yeah.
Idiocracy. Right. Maybe this is saving us on some level from alien invasion, if you think about it.
You got to explain that one.
Well, because the aliens are coming by. They keep an eye on us, right? They check it out once in a while. How's it going there?
That's the story.
Da, 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 da. They got nuclear weapons. Well, we better keep an eye on them. you know, da 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 da, you know.
That is the story.
And I think they're looking at us now and they're going, okay, they're morons. Don't, it's fine. They're gonna they're gonna screw it up anyway themselves. We don't have to invade them and waste any of our resources. We can just watch the fireworks display. I think the young people will save us. I hope the young people get a chance to save us, is what I hope.
Yeah.
Because we jacked it all up, like our generation. I mean, we're the ones responsible for this.
I'm not so sure.
Yeah, it was us. It wasn't us specifically, but it was people like us.
Who are we then? People who complained about what?
You know, we're the people that the boat has already half sunk. Like the part of the ship is up in the air. It's about to slide in. Uh-huh. That's where we're at right now. And some of us are polishing brass. And some of us are going, hey, maybe, you know, maybe there's still time to save the ship. And then there's other people that are like, you know, the Chinese did this.
Some people are man the pumps. Others are man the lifeboats. Others are polishing brass.
Others are polishing brass.
I kind of like your metaphor. I'm not sure I completely understand it. But
call it the Titanic theory of country development. Right. No, but okay. So is there a way out? You know, I don't think we can accomplish it. So like when I say we, I mean.
Yes. I think it will happen.
Yes.
In spite of our efforts.
Yes.
Rather than because of them.
Yes. Because this type of xenophobia is self-limiting.
It
doesn't allow you to succeed. Maybe for a short term, but
it's not because people care so much, it's because they stop kind of caring. I think we've seen a little bit of that on Facebook.
Facebook
the arguments are not nearly so vehement on Facebook.
I don't see any arguments at all now, really, on Facebook.
At all. Partly because of Facebook policies, you know, limiting things. But, you know, partly it's because, wait, I don't want to engage in this anymore.
I think we're aging out.
Yeah, right?
And the ones that are
aging out?
Well, yeah, and I think the ones that are aging in are not getting into Facebook. They're on to the next thing. So,
Instagram.
I read some article years ago about how Facebook in 30 years is going to be this incredible graveyard, because most of the accounts are dead. Most of the people are dead that have accounts.
Oh, right.
Right.
You've got Facebook friends that are dead, right?
Oh, certainly.
I do. Several. They don't go away.
I've lost a handful of them. Right.
Yeah, and you get reminders on their birthdays, and what the hell.
Yeah, or some picture pops up. Hey, here's you with this person. Oh, great.
Yeah, right? Share this memory.
Because I think the young kids, they're doing... The ones right after us got into Instagram.
Right.
And then the ones after them got into TikTok.
TikTok, yeah.
So those people on TikTok will never have a functioning Facebook account. I don't think they're going to age into it. I think by the time they age in, there'll be something else that replaces that. You know, or TikTok will be the for old people.
Uh-huh.
Kind of thing. I think did you ever think we were going to live in a world with no Facebook?
Well, I didn't think one way or the other what would the future of Facebook. I wasn't trying to predict.
Have you done TikTok?
Remember MySpace?
I remember MySpace.
So that's totally gone.
There might have been something in between there. I can't remember.
Napster.
Hmm. Are you on TikTok? Are you?
No, I'm not.
It's great. It really is great.
I see the little TikTok videos every once in a while.
It's 20 times better than Instagram or Facebook. It's way better. You know, I'm getting into the proliferation of prank videos. You know, which is just, there's one guy, he's this Mexican kid, and he goes up to gangster looking guys in inner cities.
Uh-huh.
And he'll be like, hey, what's up? I heard you're trying to get checked. He'll say to the guy. And once when the guy starts to try to beat his ass for saying that, he'll pull out an actual check. I'm just trying to give you a check. Hey, it's for YouTube. It's hilarious. And at least half the time, the person's like, oh, they all start laughing. Oh, that's great. You got me. And then half the time, the guy's like, I don't give a fuck about YouTube. I'll beat your ass. Da, 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 da. Wow. Like he'll go up and be like, hey, I heard my homie said you're looking for a two-piece. Trying to get a two-piece? And then he pulls out a thing of Kentucky Fried Chicken, like a two-piece thing to hand the guy. Like, it's great. There's some other guy. He's an older guy. You never see him, but he sticks the camera in other old guys' faces in Home Depot or, you know, the plumbing store or whatever. And he'll say something that's vaguely sexual to the guy and then act like he knows the guy. So that's the shtick. He'll be like, well, slander my prostate. How you doing? Like that. You know? I mean, they're real.
You have to pay a little attention to this.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, of course, the guy every time is like, hey, I don't know you. Oh, you know, hey, you're looking good. And, you know, just like he's real flirty with the guy. Yeah, it's great. That's one of my favorite ones.
Well, I've watched some of the – Jordan Klepper does that kind of stuff, kind of baits – goes out in the, you know, man on the street type.
Oh, right. And he's great. He's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of, so that kind of stuff is going on.
Who are you? What is this for? It's for YouTube. Oh, okay. That's the guy you're talking
well,
about.
Well, so YouTube is actually the one now.
YouTube.
That's the social. Yeah.
YouTube popped out of nowhere and hung out.
That's where it's all happening.
Do you hear about that Mr. Beast guy? He's got like 100 million followers on YouTube.
Oh.
He's the top of the mountain right now.
Is okay.
he?
Mr. B? I didn't even know.
Mr. Beast. I didn't really know who it was. I knew he was.
Oh, wait a minute. Mr. Beast.
Mr. Beast.
Yes, I have heard of him.
Yes. What was it? 2 weeks ago, Mr. Beast basically used his own money and got sight surgery for 1,000 blind people and gave them their sight back. Like correctable.
Wow.
Yes. Unbelievable.
Good on him.
And then there was some article about how the Super Bowl commercials are $7.5 million for 30 seconds.
Uh-huh.
And so Mr. Beast posted like, you know, hey, I got 100 million people ready to look at your stuff. So shoot me a call. You know, I'll do it for less than 7 million.
And he holds forth on TikTok, huh?
You see him a lot.
Or is it YouTube?
He's a YouTuber, but you see...
Okay.
TikTok is like a clearinghouse for short videos. So you see a lot of YouTube stuff on there, people promoting their YouTube channel.
Sure.
By doing so. And it just gets more outlandish and outrageous. And
well, I get on Facebook every day. I check in and then, you know, but I'm on YouTube. Definitely more than I'm on Facebook.
100 million. Now that's a deal maker.
Sure.
With 100 million followers, that is a person that can decide presidential elections.
Yeah, right.
Unbelievable.
So is Mr. Beast running for president in 2024?
Mr. Beast doesn't even own a supercar or a mansion. Are you ready for this? He still lives in his shitty one bedroom apartment that he lived in the whole time. He has not spent any money. He's pouring all the money back into the channel.
Wow.
So it's more outlandish skits because the tens of millions of dollars you're making are going into the skits now. And his philosophy is, I don't want to build a life that I have to worry about. So if everything falls apart, I want to be right where I was at the beginning. Right? like he doesn't have to change his lifestyle if everything falls apart. It's the same lifestyle.
So just stay near the bottom in case you fall.
Stay
you
right at the bottom and pour all the money back in back into the endeavor, into the project. It's genius.
You know, there's something that's almost zen about that.
Absolutely. And when you interact with this guy, when you see him, you can see that he's just like a regular nerd dude. You know, like it hasn't went to his head. You give me 100 million followers, you're not going to want to be around me. Trust me.
It's going to go to my head.
Oh my goodness. My head will explode and be replaced by a steaming pile of shit. It will be horrible.
Oh my God.
You know, and then I realize, maybe there's a reason I don't have 100 million followers. Maybe that's how the universe is set up. You know what I mean?
Sure. And there's something about his philosophy that's totally working for, you know, getting that to happen.
I mean, because I want a new car. You know what I mean? I'm looking at cars, you know. He's not.
Sure. Yeah, right.
I guess I'm rooting for him in the end.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, I'm gonna check this guy out. All right. Well, and TikTok in general. I think the last TikTok that I really remember much was those two teenage girls that did the Trump voice on Soup for My Family and Tifa throwing soup cans.
Oh, okay.
They were so clever. They were cute, and it rightfully went viral. But
I think it's changing. It's definitely changing entertainment in the sense that you used to have nepotism and connection and in order to make it in entertainment. I'm saying,
sure.
You needed needed to be talented. But if you didn't have connections, you had to be super lucky and talented, right? It wasn't going to happen by accident.
Yeah, right. And the internet has changed that somewhat.
It's like we all dreamed of being celebrities, and then they made it so it's on the phone and you can take a run at it. You know what I mean? It's who knows? You know what? This melting pot of creativity could end up with groundbreaking ideas coming out of it, right?
I think it kind of already has, but it's also homogenized it. Well, no, that's not entirely true.
Well, there's a lot of it, let's say.
There's so much of it that it's hard to rise above the noise if you've got something even really pretty good. That, if you had Sony Music behind you, for instance, you'd have a run at Taylor Swift.
Sure.
But since you don't, you never will.
You never would before, but if you release a song that's catchy and it goes viral, you can build a career out of nothing. In fact, you don't even need a song. Look at that Bad Barbie. That girl?
Is she right?
Now think about this for a second. A few years ago, a few years ago, she gets on Dr. Phil's show. Is a character. Tries to fight with the audience. Cash me outside. Telling the audience they'll beat her ass. It was polarizing. She was funny, interesting, the whole thing. But then it was over, except it's not. Now she's on OnlyFans making $50 million a year.
See, that you mentioned that the other day, and I had no idea.
Unbelievable.
Cash me outside, how about that?
Cash me, what are you saying? Are you calling the audience hoes? Yeah. You know what I mean? And I never hated her for a second. When I saw that the first time, I'm like, that's hilarious. It takes a lot. Look, it takes a lot to perform. And even if you are a weirdo, it takes a lot to sit there on what you know is on TV and do your shtick. It's difficult. She nailed it. She nailed it. And $50 million a year. So, if you're saying, can I do it? I think you can. I think you got to get on Dr. Phil first. There's different avenues,
right?
What's that?
Didn't he quit the other day?
Did he really?
I think so. At least I think I heard that, read that somewhere.
I was always indifferent for Dr. Phil. I didn't like him. I didn't dislike him. It's fine. There's worse. There's worse things.
I kind of didn't like him. So,
I mean, it felt a little exploitative, some of it, but
it wasn't Jerry Springer. That's but still.
But when you see somebody when you see somebody that you would say, oh, that's an unhirable person, that's a not talented person, if you looked at Bad Barbie in that moment, you would have been like, well, this is her moment. This is her 15 minutes of fame, is this interview. You would have thought exactly. We're never going to see her again.
Exactly.
But
she's gone on.
And you won't unless you pay for the fee, but it's really opened it up.
It's a piece of.
It's really opened it up, though. I mean, anything's possible.
Billie Eilish is such a story.
Billie Eilish is a great example.
She's making YouTube videos with her brother in their bedroom.
Taylor Swift had an opportunity to sign her initially. I saw this interview with Taylor Swift. So someone had given her the tape, a Billie Eilish tape, and her reaction was, this is kind of boring, and didn't sign her. She heard it and thought it was
right.
She thought it was boring, and then of course, fast forward to now.
Sure.
I don't like Billie Eilish.
Within a year, Billie Eilish was doing the James Bond theme song.
Right. And packing in stadium shows.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So that story more feels like an anomaly because, well, Taylor Swift, look at where she's at.
Right.
With doing pretty much the same Taylor Swift, Katy Perry, right. Beyonce shtick. Oh, Beyonce's got a new tour coming. And Ticketmaster's trembling about that.
Well, I mean, $6,000 for a seat.
Right.
Hey, I want to. Hey, look, I would love to see Beyonce. I think she's an incredible performer, certainly iconic. I'm certainly not spending $6,000 to see her.
Yeah, exactly. Right, right.
I mean, I'm hard pressed to find anything I would spend $6,000 to see.
I can't imagine what that would be. I mean, I don't.
It seems like a chunk.
Don't have $6,000.
It just seems like a chunk of.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about that.
Seems like a chunk of change. I don't know. Original lineup of the Rolling Stones. I don't.
Yeah, my first Stone show cost $2.50.
You know, I tell people I saw Led Zeppelin perform. But,
yeah.
But the reality of it was all the original Led Zeppelin guys, and then John Bonham's son was on drums.
Right. That, okay. I remember that.
So
tour.
So I think what? That's sort of, it's like 3/4 Led Zeppelin, right?
Something like that.
I'm just saying the social media has made it possible for anybody to become Bad Barbie.
Yeah, I don't know. Large concert, it's been many, many years since I've been, you know, to an arena-sized concert. And that is, you know, I don't think I would go if it were free.
The last big show I went to was Lollapalooza, so big outdoor show. And it was the year Soundgarden and Metallica were on the same thing, which is interesting.
Oh, right.
Sure. And Devo as well was on that. Was on
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
So very.
Lollapalooza got some interesting acts.
Sure. But I ended up not seeing Soundgarden because there was lightning in the distance, and they didn't play.
You chose the lightning.
No, they said we're not going to play.
I would have chosen the lightning myself, but
we're not going to. You know, we're not gonna stand out and get electrocuted for you guys. So we just stood there waiting to get electrocuted ourselves, and that didn't happen either.
Right.
Poor Devo, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, my optimal experience is in a club. Music experience is in a club. Hmm. So that tends to be local bands, you know, that are still hungry and.
You ever see Moon Pools and Caterpillars back in the day?
Familiar? Is that a band?
Yeah, you're familiar. No, I guess you're not familiar with them. Three Filipinos and a white woman.
It's sounding better and better.
Yeah, they're awesome. And I was in love with her for years. And then I realized, then later I found out she was married to the drummer.
Wow.
I know, it ruined it. Same thing happened in high school to me. I was in love with this English teacher. I mean, madly in love for years. And her brother taught there also. He was a teacher as well.
Sure.
But no, as it turns out, they're married. Yeah. So.
Well, you know, I mean, that's the other thing. There's so much great music in the world that doesn't get a fraction of the attention that Beyonce, Katy Perry, Taylor Swift, you know, get Bad Bunny. And I, you know, this is a pretty good example, Dengue Fever.
Okay.
So there are some Los Angeles musicians and they get exposed to some Cambodian rock, you know.
Right. As one will.
As one will. And they go, wow, this is really interesting stuff. So they go down to a little Phnom Penh near, you know, Long Beach, and they find this girl singing in a club down there, this Cambodian girl, and she's amazing. So they, you're going to be our singer in our band. She goes, wow, cool, you know, and so they form Dengue Fever.
Dengue Fever.
They're And so there, I've seen him several times at the local club here, you know, Casbah. And they don't get a fraction of the attention. Once again, now they're on Globe Fest at the Lincoln Center. They're one of those bands, and there's a bunch of, you know, really interesting musicians that are on that, but it's kind of a hoity-toity deal. I mean, the Lincoln Center. But Dengue Fever is one of the acts this year, and they've been around, I don't know, since the 90s.
All right, I'll go check them out. It means they're all in their 60s now.
right, I guess. Tenorin. They're a Molly band that's sort of rocky.
What do you mean Molly? Like they're all on Molly?
There's a country called Molly. Oh. And it doesn't have anything to do with ecstasy. So.
Oh, Molly. Okay.
Yeah. And they're really great. They tour. They're still around. But once again, mostly people don't care.
Well, people stop caring. You're listening to all you fascists. People stop caring, James.
except for what they're fed. I don't. We've wandered off of police brutality and spy balloons.
Well, let me say this though. You know, there is a feature on your phone that tells you the amount of time that you're on social media and breaks it down for you for each app, like what you're spending, how much time. Yeah? And I would encourage everyone to look into that and do it at the end of the day. Pick up your phone, pull that up.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, I've got an iPhone now, so it is doing that.
It will, and you will find that information very disturbing. you know, I remember articles back in the day when they're like, oh, if you spend 90 minutes, look at this poor person spends 90 minutes a day online. You know, trapped online. This person spends an hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so I said, I'm online more on my computer, so I get that 38 minutes, you know,
which seems like, you know, if I saw 38 minutes, I'd be like, oh yeah, this was a good day. I didn't waste my day with the phone. I only wasted 38 minutes of it.
Well, mine's like the week.
I haven't been at 38 minutes a day in a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hit 30 minutes before 9 a.m.
See, we got an hour going right now.
James, thank you for taking this time. Obviously, we send a
shout-out. No.
Good morning.
Thank you.
And we send a shout-out to all of our many adoring fan. And
she is out there.
She's out there. Good and morning. We thank you for keeping this secret.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you. Thank you for telling no one about this show.
Well, in radio, you're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to pretend that you're not talking to an audience. You're talking to a person.
Well,
maybe that's the reality.
Thankfully, we don't have to pretend. anyway, we love you all and thank you for listening.
All right. Thank you. And see you next time.
See you next time.